My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
8 o'clock hour on your home of the Cowboys. Brian brought us from Oxnard at 8:40. Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com. Final hour of the show. It's Sean and Bobby, our Cowboys insider. And joining us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline from the NFL Network is insider extraordinaire Ian Rappaport on DFW Sports Station. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Doing well. Did you enjoy your quick visit in Oxnard? What stood out to you?
I did enjoy my visit, actually. I think a couple things stood out to me. You know, there's so much made. Obviously, there's the storylines of Dak and CD, and I'm sure we'll get to that. But, there was so much made of the Cowboys in free agency. And obviously what they did, and most importantly what they didn't do and all that. And the only way that really works is if you have younger players, second-year players, or rookies who are going to come in and play some real roles. And I think the Cowboys are going to have a bunch of young players who are really talented come in and play. And, might that lead to some growing pains, especially in the offensive line early? Maybe. But the amount of young players that I think they are excited about and are going to count on is a really, really good sign. And obviously, you guys know this is a team that has drafted very well. So I think that stood out to me. And then of course there was the Dak and CD situations, which are, right in the forefront.
I want to ask a nerdy question, behind the scenes as a reporter.
Okay.
How many times can you check in with your sources without annoying them when it comes to something like this? Is it daily? Is it understood it's going to be daily? Like, how do you space out texting or calling your sources for the very latest every damn day or week on these contracts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. And that's, what I spend a lot of my time doing is just being like, all right, how annoying am I going to be and all that. But I would say, for me, one is you try not to always ask. Sometimes you try to give. You try to have information where you can say, hey, this is going on either in the landscape of the contracts or around the league, or just provide rather than always take. That's something I try to do. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other thing is my job is sort of predisposes me to be generally annoying. And if you're upfront and transparent about anything, then I think people will understand. So the people I speak to, the people I call, the people I check in with, they know that a big part of my job is going to be making sure that you're kept abreast of everything that's going on. So being a little bit annoying is essentially okay.
How difficult is it to decipher a message someone's trying to put out there versus it being like 100% truth with your name next to it if you relay and report it?
I would say there's probably not as much of that as people think. Like, I don't get a lot of people who say, like, all right, I'm going to tell you this and only this, and I want you to report it. And then it's kind of like a one-sided, slanted thing, and then I just go out and report it. Like, that doesn't really happen. Mm-hmm. I think part of the reason that doesn't happen is because in today's world, if I were to go out and say something, the player could just tweet, like, well, actually, that's wrong. Or the team could literally put out a statement and say, that's wrong. So, like, I don't really do that anyway, but it's just not user friendly at all. Because, you know, it doesn't help the fans. It doesn't actually really help the person who's putting out a message that's not accurate. And it certainly doesn't help me.
Ian Rappaport joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Ian, so obviously they've got a lot of expiring deals, quarterback, mm-hmm. receiver, head coach. Specifically, I'm curious, as they go through these negotiations, do you think the Cowboys view it like McCarthy and Dak, their fates are tied together? Like, if are they either both coming back or both departing, or do you think they view them as individual cases?
So I actually wondered for a long time this offseason if Dak and McCarthy were viewed together, because, you know, neither had an extension. There really hadn't been talks. And so I was like, maybe it's a package deal. I don't think so anymore because, you know, there have not been, to my knowledge, any negotiations with Mike McCarthy, but there have been negotiations with Dak. There have been, I would say, relatively positive negotiations. They have made multiple offers. And I think they would like to get something done. I don't get the same sense with McCarthy. So I would say now I view them not together.
Which do you think is a better characterization, just from your understanding of how the Dak negotiations have gone, which is a better characterization of his negotiations right now, that the Cowboys are trying to figure out how to make the money work, or that they have a disagreement with what Dak is worth?
I don't really view it like what quarterbacks are worth, because that doesn't really exist anymore. It's crazy the way the quarterback market has gone. Like, nobody says anymore, you know, like, well, is Trevor Lawrence really worth 55? It's like, based on what he's done on the field, maybe not. That's where the market is. Yeah. You know, Jordan Love played 7 great games. Is he worth 55 also? It's like, well, it's what he's going to get. So to me, it's, you know, it's really a question of leverage rather than worth, because Dak's leverage is he could just not do a deal. He could just say, hey, guys, I'm good. Like, I'm going to go into the season. I'm going to play it out. And assuming he plays as he's played basically every season for the last, like, 10 years or whatever it is, last year he was playing at an MVP level. Like, you know, he'll get over 60 by a bunch in free agency. He'll be the biggest free agent we've ever seen. So that's his leverage. I view it more like that rather than overall talent and like what he's actually worth. It's really just like, how much is Dak going to use his leverage and how much are the Cowboys going to sort of bow to that?
So what do you think are the current holdups right now in the two deals?
I would say, let's start with CD. I don't think there's a disagreement on how much he's worth. I think there's a, you know, essential understanding of he is an excellent receiver and probably will get paid as the second highest receiver in the NFL. I think they're okay there. Now, there's a lot of other parts of the deal. There's the guaranteed money, which is incredibly important. There's the length of the deal, which I don't, you know, I think they're, you know, sort of okay there, whatever it ends up being. But I think the other issue is, you know, you have Brandon Ayuk, who's a very good receiver, laying out there. If Brandon Ayuk gets $32 million, let's say from the 49ers, which I don't think he's going to get, but let's just say, then that probably changes what CD is going to ask for. So I think the holdup on CD, if that's what you want to call it, is that the landscape is not fully formed yet. Like, because, you know, if the 49ers go, all right, forget it, we're just going to trade him, and Brandon Ayuk gets something unforeseen, and CD already took a deal, like, that's not good for him. So I think the interrelating receiver deals probably affect everything.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
As far as Dak goes, I just think they haven't gotten there yet. You know, like, they've made some proposals. It sounds like they were good faith and not, you know, not offensive, like, not embarrassing, like, no one's insulted. They just haven't gotten there yet.
Talking with Ian Rapport, NFL Network insider. You can also see Ian on the Insiders Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central on NFL Network. Ian, you know, going back to the McCarthy discussion, how you mentioned, to your knowledge, there haven't been negotiations yet. Mm-hmm. How close do you think it was at the end of the season, or what kind of real evaluation was going on? Do you think it was something where Jerry always felt like McCarthy was coming back and it was much ado about nothing? Or do you think there was a genuine question about, do we need to make a change here?
I felt to me like a genuine discussion. I think it was the right move to bring him back. I really do.
Why do you think that?
So here, mostly because of my general philosophy, right? And I don't know that generally it relates specific to the Cowboys, but to me, the product you put on the field is basically the regular season, right? The playoffs are almost in a weird way a different animal. You do everything you can, you get in the playoffs, and sometimes it's weird, and sometimes there are upsets, and hopefully you're as prepared as possible, but sometimes it just doesn't work out, and everything was terrible for the Cowboys last year.
Yeah.
But I think it's so hard to build up a team that's so good to where you're in a point where you're, like, in control of everything in the playoffs, and I don't think it's fair to fire a coach for one loss, which is essentially what this would be. And I would also say, historically, when teams have fired coaches for, like, not being good enough in the playoffs, it has almost always been bad for them. You know, Marty Schottenheimer is the greatest example. But that's generally bad because it's hard to build up a good team that's good enough to potentially go deep in the playoffs. Last year wasn't good enough. It's not good enough for anyone. It's not good enough for the Cowboys or McCarthy or anyone. But I didn't think one loss would be a fireable offense, and I'm glad it wasn't.
Ian, when we talk about all these deals, obviously Micah Parsons didn't show up to the OTA portion, which is, you know, not mandatory. Came back from minicamp, but had made a point of saying while he was at minicamp, you know, some people are paid to be here for OTAs. I'm not. And so I was going to work on things my own. He's obviously a little bit further out from being complete. Is there anything there that would make you think they would try to get out in front of that one and address it this year potentially? Or is that something that they've got just too many things on their plate to deal with it right now?
Yeah, I think just too many things on the plate. And it sounds to me like everybody would like a deal. But I think if you're Micah Parsons and you have a good – and he has a very, very good agent in David Mulugeta, you know, if you understand the landscape, waiting is fine. You know, his value is only going to increase. Like, I can feel pretty confident in saying when Micah Parsons gets a deal, he's probably going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. So, like, just chill out and wait. And, like, there's almost nothing that could happen on the field this year that would take me off that. Just same thing with Justin Jefferson last year. Like, even though he was injured last year with a hamstring, missed some games, like, he was always going to be the highest paid non-quarterback. I think Mike is the same, so waiting is really not bad for him.
You know, Ian, you use the word wait, and many of us are furious and don't understand and think that the Cowboys front office waits too long. Michael Lombardi came on, said, stupid notion, we're all overreacting, blah, blah, blah. You know how all these front offices operate. What do you think of that notion that Jerry's leaves cost him more money that he waits, you know, to fall?
I don't think it's a stupid notion. I think it's a good question. And I talk about it, I mean, maybe not as much as you guys, but I talk about it plenty publicly. It's more of a philosophical thing for the Cowboys than anything else. And I think, you know, look, when you do deals early, you can get great deals for the team. Like, I think the Eagles got a really good deal with Devontae Smith. I think they really got a really good deal with Jordan Mailata both times. Doing early deals on your own players can really, really benefit you. Does not always help. The Eagles did an early deal for Josh Sweat, and then I thought they might cut him or trade him this year, and eventually he accepted a pay cut. Like, it doesn't always work out. And I think what the Cowboys want to do is, one, minimize the amount of dead money they have, which is basically money that they cannot spend, money that they are taxed on, charged with, but they cannot spend. And I think if they wait, it maybe helps them minimize the amount of dead money because you have more information and you're more sure. I also think that when you wait a little bit longer, might it cost you some dollars? Probably, definitely. But you're also doing deals that are probably more fair to your very good players. And so it creates less angst in the locker room and your players hate you less. I don't know if it's certainly not something everybody would do, but at least I think the reasoning is okay.
Ian, what do you think Trey Lance's future is, whether it be in Dallas or just moving forward in the NFL?
I still think he's got some things to prove. I really do. I think if you didn't know where he was drafted, then you would say, you know, is this a guy in the roster bubble? And maybe he still is. I think that'll be an interesting decision. I'm not sure there's anything there where you would say, well, this guy's definitely making the team. This guy's definitely going to be the backup quarterback. I think there's still things out there for him to prove, and that's okay. He came out in that weird year, the COVID year, without a lot of information. Like, I think obviously it was a failed pick for the 49ers and for the Cowboys for a fourth-round pick. I thought it was a fine flyer. It's not going to cost them that much. And if he turns out to be nothing, like, okay. If he turns out to be their backup quarterback, then that's good value. But I don't think his story is fully written yet.
Ian, last one real quick. You tweeted yesterday, okay, the Cowboys appear to value the pressure being placed on key parts of their organization. What does that mean?
What that meant to me was Mike McCarthy is going – that was, I think, more geared toward McCarthy than anything else. McCarthy is going into a contract year in a way that coaches almost never do. And it's a lot of pressure. And they're basically saying, like, you need results or – we're not going to fire you, but we'll probably move on. I think that's okay. I think that's something the Cowboys like. I think Jerry Jones is always like to tweak and prod and push and nudge or whatever, especially like the key parts of the organization, and to get a better performance. And I think, you know, that's what it feels like with McCarthy, while also limiting their downside. And I think they relish that. And we'll see if it works or if it matters. But I don't think they shy away from that part of it.
You can follow Ian Rapoport on Twitter or X or whatever you call it now at this point. At Rapsheet.
Nobody calls it X.
No, I don't either. At Rapsheet. And you can see him on the Insiders on NFL Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central. Ian, thank you so much. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
At Rapsheet, the great Ian Rapoport on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Let's react to that. And I wonder how many people would actually agree with Jerry Jones over that P word. And Bobby has the few reasons left to still watch the Rangers season. That's next on Sean and RJ.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.